Ephesians chapter 1, and what we're going to do, and we're going to start this tonight, and then, Lord willing, when I get back from Arizona, then I'll continue along with the series. I'll be here, Lord willing, Wednesday night, and then this coming Sunday, of course, Jeremy Shamlin is going to be bringing the message, and then, of course, you roll in Wednesday night to the Thanksgiving service, and I'll be back that Sunday. So I wanted to give you a series on these things, and what we're going to do is look at salvation blessings that are associated with salvation. And the title that I'm going to use is The Priceless Unchangeables. The Priceless Unchangeables. And what they are their truths that are in the Word of God that you can't put a price tag on, and they're unchangeable. They're priceless, and they're what else? They're unchangeable. So that's what we're going to call the series, and we're looking again at salvation blessings. I'm planning on just doing a little bit at a time so it won't be as long, and I think it'll give people time to digest what I say. I think sometimes or every now and again you need to think a little bit about what a preacher says, so you know, the Bible says to receive the word with all readiness of mind, doesn't it? Then what does it tell you to do? Search the scriptures daily to see whether it is so. You don't ever just blindly accept what somebody says. What I do is I give you the text, and then that way you can look the text up and see whether it's so. And then when you see it for yourself, what does it give you? It gives you convictions. And you want God's people to have convictions. You want folks to know what they believe, why they believe it, and Scripture and verse 4. You don't want to believe something just because a preacher tells you. Well, Jeff says this and Jeff says that. I hope you listen to what I say. But I want you to believe what you believe because God's Word says it. That's why you believe it. Because God's Word doesn't change. Preachers change. The next preacher ever comes in here, you just don't want to believe things because that's what he says. But you need to have convictions about what God's Word says, and you need to know where it's at in the Bible, and you need to know Scripture and verse for what it says. So this message, this series is entitled The Priceless Unchangeables, and they are salvation blessings that are associated with salvation. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to get the first one, and this is just some basic things. We're just going to look at two, maybe. Two of them tonight, and this is the first one we're going to look at. Now, in Ephesians 1, just to give you a little background to the book of Ephesians, if you'll look at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what's the word blessed mean? Praise Him. That's what it's calling upon. Of course, the book of Ephesians was written to the church of Ephesus. It was a letter written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's right, this is a church. The Ephesus church was a big church. Book of Revelation chapter 2 it talks about also the church of Ephesus. So one of the seven churches, one of the seven churches of Asia. Now he's calling upon them to praise God, and that's what the word blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And once you're saved, once you're born again, you need to know what your spiritual blessings are so that you can praise God every day for them. Part of praise is giving Him praise for the blessings. Now, I'm going to start tonight with a basic one. I'm going to start down into verse 7 because this is where I wanted to start at. It says, in whom, now the in whom, let's look back up at verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He's made us accepted. And who's made us accepted? It's Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. He's made us accepted in the Beloved. Now the Beloved is Jesus. And the Father has made us accepted in the Beloved. And the Beloved is who? The Beloved is Jesus. If you're going to be acceptable with God, you got to be in the Beloved. And who's the Beloved again? On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the text shows us that we're accepted. If you're going to be accepted, if you're going to enter heaven one day and you're going to go off to be with the Lord, then you have to be in the beloved. And access into Him, of course. How do you get in Christ? It's a faith access. Romans 5:1 says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And access is how you get in. It's how you get in. You got a building here, it's got several accesses. Well, the access in is through Jesus Christ. You don't go through Him, you don't have no access. And because that's the only access there is. Now, verse 7 is what we want to focus on. The first priceless, unchangeable that we want to look at in this series on salvation blessings. The first thing we want to notice is redemption. In whom? Who's in whom now? It's the beloved. Talking about the beloved, which is Jesus. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, redemption is one of the greatest salvation words that they are. Whenever you're saved, you're redeemed. And the word redeemed, there's different words that's used to express the term redemption. But the idea of the word here, in whom we have redemption, is the idea of buying by the payment of a ransom, or it's the idea of being of a payment by a ransom. Now, we know the idea of someone being kidnapped, don't we? Someone being kidnapped and they're put in captivity and they're put in bondage and they're held for ransom. They're held for ransom. And that's the idea of the word redemption in this particular text. It carries the idea of the payment of a ransom. The payment of a ransom. Well, we were under a sin curse before we were saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, then you're living under that. And that's the most frightening position for anyone that they could ever be in, is to be under a sin curse, to be under a sin debt. And because there is such a thing as a sin debt, a sin curse, you stand in need of being set free from that, to being set free from that bondage. Now, you're here next to Galatians, so we just need to turn back a couple pages and pick this up. Notice in the book of Galatians chapter 3 shows us why we need to be redeemed, which means to be set free from bondage. Set be free from bondage. Notice what it says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." It's a sin curse. We also call it sin debt. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying tonight, if you've not been set free from the bondage of your sin debt, then you are living under a sin curse. And what I'm telling you is that you need to be redeemed or set free from the bondage of that sin curse. So notice what it says here again. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed. Don't even sound good, does it? Doesn't even sound good to have a text that says that you're cursed. Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, when you're talking about the law, there's different kinds of law, but the law that it's talking about here is the law we see up there in lights right now, the Ten Commandments. That's called the moral. It's called a moral law. Now, if you understand the demands of the moral law, you can understand why you really needed a Savior, and you can understand also why you can't be saved by your works. The demands are too great. If you keep the whole law, but you offended in one point, did you hear what I'm saying? One point, then you're guilty. And you're cursed. What it says. Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you've committed one sin, then you're under a sin curse, and you stand in need of being what? Set free from that bondage. You don't want to die under that. You don't want to die under a sin curse. Now keep your hand in here or a piece of paper in here, and let's turn to the book of Galatians. And it says the same thing. I'm sorry, the book of James. It says the same thing in just a little bit different words. Bible study is good. Just be sure to turn to the text. If you can't find things in the Bible fast, just write the verses down and check them out. Now look at this one. It's along the same line as Galatians 3. For whosoever, James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, but offended in, you see that? Offended in one point. It says you're guilty of all. So one transgression, one breaking of God's law makes you guilty and makes you cursed. And when the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means every one of us has broken God's law. And that's a disastrous thing for people. And you stand in need of being set free from that. Now, can you see what I was talking about there a little while ago? If you could save yourself, when you understand the sin curse, you can then understand, since everybody has sinned, then you can understand why the law can't save you. That's why the book of Galatians says, for what the law couldn't do, God sent forth His Son to pay for those that were under the law. If there would have been, when Jesus prayed in the garden, He prayed that if this cup can pass from me, remember? If this cup can pass from me, then let it pass. If there had been any way He could have saved an old, rotten, hell-bound, no-good-for-nothing sinner like Jeff, you know, without Jesus having to die, don't you think salvation would have been that way? The fact that Jesus had to die on Calvary, live, die, and be buried and resurrect again is clear proof that you couldn't save yourself. We're transgressors. We've broke God's law. So we're under a curse. And that's what you need to do when you're witnessing to people. You tell people they need to be saved, right? But you need to show them why they need to be saved. You need to show them why. Here's your condition. Here's where your standing is. You're abiding under a sin. You're abiding under a sin curse. You need to be redeemed from that. You need to be set free from the bondage of the sin curse. Because you could, if you die there, then you die condemned. And you'll spend forever, an eternity in hell for that. That's what the sin curse is. And that's why you so desperately need, of course, to be set free from it. Now let's go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about redemption. Redemption. Now in Ephesians chapter 1 again, now let's look at our text. Now everybody understands why we need to be redeemed, isn't it? Why we need to be set free from bondage by the payment of a price, the payment of a ransom. You were not kidnapped, but you were under the bondage here of a sin curse. You need to be free from it. You need to be redeemed. And I'm telling you that redemption is absolutely priceless. What's the greatest thing that you own? What's the greatest thing that you have? I'm going to be honest with you. You know what the greatest thing I have is? Is redemption. What could be any greater than being set and free from the bondage of a sin debt? Been redeemed. The Lord set me free from it. You know the Bible says, whom the Son sets free, he shall be free indeed. Free from the bondage of that sin debt. Which we have. Notice what it says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. How do you get redeemed? What to say? Through what? Through His blood. Through His blood. And listen, that's the redemption price. That's the redemption price. Now, I can't explain why He did that for us. Because there wasn't a thing in us that merited that. wasn't nothing. I can't explain to you why God loved us that much, but He did. He set His affection and His love on us, chose to adopt us. We talked about that a couple Wednesday nights. Chose to adopt us. And you know, when you have an adoption, there has to be a price paid for it. Well, He not only redeemed us, but He also chose to adopt us. And boy, did He ever pay a great price to do that. So we have redemption, and that redemption is through His blood. He had to die. He had to live, though. You can't leave out the living part. If He didn't live for you, He couldn't die for you. Everybody got it? If He committed one sin, it would have been sufficient. He wouldn't have been able to be your sacrifice. That's why the lambs of the Old Testament had to be without spot and without blemish, because they pictured what Jesus, the perfect one. It required the sacrifice of one that was perfect. And only Jesus fit that bill. He was born for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He resurrected for us. And one day He's coming for us. Think about it. Isn't that a glorious salvation? Well, there ain't nothing like being redeemed. It's priceless. I'm no longer under a sin curse. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. What's condemnation? Just break it down, you can see what it is. Being condemned. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How you get in? How you get in? It's a faith access. Romans 5:1. We have access by faith and to this grace wherein we stand. You know, the Lord, He destroyed the world by water already, hadn't He? All kinds of evidence for that. The fossils they found was caused by the flood. Highest mountains in the world, they find marine animals on the top of the highest mountains in the world. And you say, how did that happen? Because it was covered with water. All kinds of evidence of the flood. Old Noah built that ark. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. So not only was he a builder, but he was also a preacher. When you build something, like we talk to Brother Doug all the time, it usually draws a crowd. And he would be a builder, and he would warn people. I'm sure he'd warn people because he was a preacher. He warned that there's a coming destruction. And you need to go through the access of this door on this ark. You need to repent and get on the ark. Well, once the ark was completed, God told Noah to do what? Get in. That was the ark of what? The ark of safety. Oh, Noah got in. He brought his three sons and their three wives and his wife on the ark. Eight people. Eight people got on. You know what the Bible says happened then? Y'all remember? Door shut. God shut the door. And whoever went through that access, no condemnation. Everybody with me? Whoever went in through the access. You know why they got on? You know it was a week before it started raining. Go back and look at it. I mean, when I walk through there, I expect something to happen. When you feel nothing happened for a week, I just imagine his wife. Well, here we are. No. Been a week. Nothing's happened. Can you imagine? I don't know that. I'm just teasing you. I miss Miss Noah's an awful good woman. Don't you women get riled at me now. I just imagine a whole week goes by and nothing happens. What do you think they was thinking during that week? What would you have thought? 7 days and seven nights on that ark and all them animals. But you know, the access on that ark, they got on it because God said so. They entered the ark by faith. They entered the ark of safety by faith. And once they entered through that door, what did the Lord do? He shut it. He sealed them in. That was the ark of safety. There was no condemnation to those that were in the ark. Well, God's going to destroy the world again. Except this time it's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. And there's also an ark of safety. The ark of safety is Jesus. You need to get in. Access in is by faith. And once you enter in, see, once you enter in, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. That sin curse that I owed for breaking God's law, Jesus paid that price in full. We don't sing the song, Jesus paid it half. We sing the song, Jesus paid it. Remember his little sign here, wore out, haven't I? One of the statements Jesus made from the cross is, it is. That's one word in the Greek. It's one word. It's tetelestia. That's why I got it up here. What does it mean? Paid in full. Paid in full. They find receipts and things from those days, and it'll have this cross that means you paid it in full. He paid your account when he redeemed you, when he bought you, and to buy you costed a lot. That's why I can't explain the love. To buy you costed a lot. That's how precious you are to him and how much he loves you. He was willing to pay a great cost to purchase you. But he couldn't purchase us. He couldn't save us unless he died for us. And that's exactly what he did. He redeemed us. That old sin debt, I've been set free from it. I don't have that sin debt no more. I'm ready to go up. I'm ready to go up, either by death. Now, I want to hang around, and I ain't saying I'm wanting to die, but I'd like to preach a while longer. But if the Lord would come, I'm ready to go up. And if I would die, I'm ready to go up. Either way, I'm ready. I don't know how man could live his life without that knowledge. Do you, Brother Coy? How could you live your life without the knowledge that you'll go to heaven at the end of your days? Go to be with the Lord. Amen. And the older you get, the more precious it should be to you. Should be precious to you. Whether you die or the Lord comes, you're ready to go because you're redeemed. You've been set free from that sin curse. You've been set free from that bondage. And that's what, again, it's priceless. It's priceless. You can't put a tag on it. You can't put a tag on it. What kind of tag could you put on redemption, being set free from a sin curse? That would have sent you to an eternity in hell. What kind of tag could you put on it? If someone saved you just your physical life, we'd put a high tag on that, wouldn't we? But to save us from everlasting death, there's no way you could put a tag on that. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. See why I'm just doing a few of them. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Thank you to you, Hope. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Notice what it says in verse 15. Y'all have heard of John Newton, haven't you? He wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing Grace. Well, John Newton, in Deuteronomy 15 and verse 15, I've read where he had this verse over the top of his mantle. I don't know if it was in a picture. I don't know if he wrote it on the wall. But it was wrote to where he could see it. He would come and he'd sit in his chair, so when he'd come down to sit in his chair in his study or whatever, he would look over and he would see that on the wall every day, this saying. You know what saying it was? It's Deuteronomy 15:15. I want you to look at it. So he could remind himself every day of the awesome price that the Father paid, the awesome price that the Father paid to redeem him. And this is the text, Deuteronomy 15 and verse 15. Henny, listen to it. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee. That's what he had on his wall. So that every day of his life, when he'd come down there and study, he would remind himself of his redemption and that he could give God a fresh thanksgiving for it every day of his life. If all God ever did for us was redeem us, that's more than we deserve and would still be the greatest thing you'd ever have. The greatest thing you have is redemption. Nothing any greater than being redeemed. It gives you peace of mind. Peace of mind. I can remember not having peace of mind. I can remember being younger and crying over the fact, Lord, I tell my mother, I don't want to go to hell. Don't want to go to hell. Don't want to go to hell. Hell was a frightening place to me. Holy Spirit makes hell real to you. He makes it real to you. And the greatest thing in the world is to be set free from the bondage of that sin debt that we owed, that curse that we were under. And knowing you're free from it, no condemnation now, I'm free. I'm free, what's the song? I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord, free at last. Oh, God's people say it. That's redemption. You can't put a tag on it. We need to remind ourselves every day of the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. Let's turn to Psalms 103. I think we'll just probably cover redemption tonight. I don't think I'm going to have time to cover the second one. Psalms 103. Keep you coming, I hope, so you can hear these salvation blessings. They're priceless. What else are they? They're priceless and they're unchangeable. Psalms 103. Psalms 103. This is something that I pray every day. I've told you that before. We'll tell it to you again. But I've memorized verses 1 through 5, and I pray that every day. It's a benefit package. We realize how important benefit packages are. You go get a job, and they're going to hire you, and you want to know about the benefits that goes with that. I was always interested in benefits, you know, health care, insurance, retirement, things of that nature. Benefits. I was interested in benefits. You can't beat this benefit package. The only reason I'm going to read it is to get down to verse 4. Verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His. See the word benefits? Forget not all your benefits. It's the greatest benefit package that's ever been put in on paper is this one. Now, I'm not going to deal with all five of them, but I'm going to give you the first one, or the third one, I think it is. Look at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now, the word bless means to praise Him, and twice it tells you to do it. It tells you to do it in verse 1, bless the Lord, praise Him. Tells you in verse 2, bless the Lord. Then it tells you why you should bless the Lord. And one reason that he lists here why you should bless the Lord or praise the Lord is because he redeemed your life from destruction. What kind of destruction is that? 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9, it's an eternal destruction from the presence of God. Let's go ahead and turn there too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, eternal destruction from the presence of God. Talks about the second coming there. Talks about the second coming here. I want you to notice what it says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And you are troubled, verse 7, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now notice what it says. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the gospel. Well, I was preached that at the funeral. I got the funeral and the morning message messed up. But talked about the gospel. Gospel message is a message that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Trusting that message is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it, isn't it? It says in verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting what? Everlasting destruction. He's redeemed us. He's redeemed our life. Psalms 103. He's redeemed our life from destruction. Now, is that not priceless? We used the illustration a little while ago, I think it did, but the fact if someone, to save your, if someone had $1 trillion and they was dying, and the cure for what they had was $1 trillion, they'd pay it. You think? I mean, seriously, if they were dying, Henny, and it was I had the cure, and it was $1 trillion, and you had it, you'd pay it without question. You'd pay it because it would preserve your physical life a little bit longer. What's the value of redemption? To be set free from bondage and to have eternal life. I mean, what kind of price tag is that worth? I mean, we need to put a value on things. But these things, these priceless unchangeables, that's why I call them priceless, because there's no money value that could even approach in any way towards them. They're priceless. All God's people say it. I want to tell you something else. They're also unchangeable. Redemption. Once he sets you free from bondage, it's also unchangeable. He doesn't redeem you, and then he doesn't buy you, then unbuy you. There's no word for unredeemed anywhere. You're just redeemed. So it's priceless, but then at the same time, it's unchangeable. I'm going to show you some things. We'll just deal with redemption. I ain't got the time to cover everything. Let's go to John 6 just for a little bit. John 6, and I'm going to show you some verses. I'm going to show you why it's unchangeable. It's priceless, but it's unchangeable. I'm mainly going to focus on the second part of verse 37 tonight. But look at John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me, what does it say they'll do? They shall come to me. Now listen to this now. Him that comes to me, I will no wise. No wise. That's like saying, no way. I will no wise cast them out. Now look over to verse 44. No man can come to me. Aren't you glad that that text don't stop there? No man can come to me except. There's an exception. Aren't you glad for, don't you thank God for the exception? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. He draws you. He draws you. Ever been drawed? Yeah, praise God, yes. He'll draw you. The Old Testament says he drew me with cords, or the song says he drew me with cords of love. He draws you. What's it say? No man can come to me except the Father do what? Except. I'm glad there's an exception there, aren't you? If it stopped there, if no man can come to me, we just will go to the house. No man can come to me except the Father which just sent me draw him. And then what will you do? I'll raise him up the last day. Now here's why. See how good my art is? I put that little hump in there. Put that little hump in there so you know what it was. Anyhow, this is the day right here. That's what the text is talking about, the day that the Lord came. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last what? It's the last day. This just represents when the Lord raptures us out. And that's also the day of the being raised up. That's the day of the rapture. But what else happens first? The dead in Christ rise first. And that's what resurrection is at. That's the first one, because there's two. There's a resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. There's a resurrection of unto life, and there's a resurrection of the damned. Think about it. A resurrection of the damned. So that means they get a body too. Fit for eternity. Think about it. And that's a frightening statement. Okay, so that's a glorious text right there. He said, I'm going to those that he draws, and Of course, they'll trust Christ. We'll raise them up the last day. So it's redemption is that way. It's priceless and it's unchangeable. The Lord don't unredeem you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you belong to the Lord, He'll take you to the woodshed if you get out of line. I look for that in folk. When someone drifts off from the Lord, Hebrews chapter 12 says that He chastens His children. The idea of that is He instructs them, but part of instructing is He'll take you to the woodshed. If someone can drift and stay, and I've seen people do that. They make professions of faith, and they last about a month, and then they go right back out like they were before. There's no change. And there's no evidence of any chastening. No evidence of any correction. You know what the Bible says about such folks? Hebrews chapter 12 says, if one be without chastisement, then they are a bastard and not a son. That's what it says. Because I'm going to tell you, the Lord corrects these children. Have you ever had the Lord take you to the woodshed? Now it hurts, doesn't it? But it's a sign you belong to Him. It's a love that just don't let you go. It's a redemption. It is priceless. But at the same time, it's unchangeable. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians 1. We'll stop with this. Man, oh man. Did you think I'd get farther in this, Hollis? No, you didn't. Thanks for all the confidence. Ephesians chapter 1. Aren't you glad redemption doesn't change? He doesn't buy you, and then you come with a no return policy. You can't. He don't return you. He bought you. Paid for a great price for you, and He ain't going to return you. Aren't you glad, brother? He ain't going to return you. Even when you ain't what you should be, He'll still keep you. But He'll chasten you real good, though. You're not doing what you should do. Notice what it says here now. Ephesians chapter 1. It says in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, talking about Christ. Let's go ahead and look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye trusted. That's what happened when you got saved, wasn't it? You trusted Jesus. You trusted Christ died for you. You trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. What's the gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and He rose again the third day. That's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that trusts it. You got to know what the gospel is. And when you trust the gospel, here's what happens. In whom, after that ye believed, what to say you were? You're sealed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Everybody see it? A seal. You know what a seal is? It's a mark of ownership. It's a mark of ownership. And when the Lord redeemed you, oh, get this. When the Lord redeemed you, He put a mark of ownership on you. Does anybody in the house know what that mark of ownership is? It's the Holy Spirit. He's a seal. So that means you belong to the Lord. You're redeemed. So what He did, you know, Debbie's dad always did that to something that belongs to him all the way down the day. He'll put his seal on there. Bob Hill. Remember, I used to help him do carpenter work. I was just the back. And every now and again, he's real funny about his tools, and he'd say, Jeff, do you got my hammer? And I said, I don't think so. Oh, he'd have his mark. He'd look on there and say, Bah, oh no, I got Bob Hill's hammer. It had his mark on it, see. It was sealed. And the reason why he put his name in is for security, wasn't it? So that old son-in-law of his wouldn't steal his hammer, is what that was for. It was for security purposes. It was for keeping purposes. What I'm telling you, when He redeemed you, He put a mark of ownership on you. And that mark of ownership is the Holy Spirit. And it means you belong to Jesus. I'm going to put my seal on you, Jeff. My seal is the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says if a man doesn't have the Holy Spirit, he doesn't belong to the Lord. Doesn't belong to him. Okay? Everybody understand the seal? In whom after you trusted, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed. He didn't leave you. He didn't just leave you to carry on your own. He put his seal on you, Jay. And he put his spirit in you. He did that for security purposes. You're in enemy territory while you're here. I think the devil knows who God's people are. According to the book of Revelations 12, he does. According to Revelations 12, he knows who God's people are. But he put his seal on his people. It's a mark of security, mark of ownership. It means you belong to him. So he says, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believe you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now let's move on to verse 14. We'll stop with this. Which is the earnest? Does anybody know what an earnest is? It's earnest money. It's a down payment. That's what it is. Earnest money is a down payment. He give you a down payment. You know, and what that basically is a guarantee. If you go and let's just use a crude illustration. If you go and you're wanting to buy some, say you want to buy this board with this wonderful art piece on it. If you wanted to buy this board and I sell it for $20 and you only had five. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll hold this for you, but you need to pay me part of the money. And I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you $5. And what was that for? That's called earnest money. It's a down payment. You know what a down payment is? It's a guarantee that that's going to be yours. And you know what the Lord did? When he redeemed you, when he bought and paid the price for you, and when he set you free from your sin debt, he put in you an earnest, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the seal. And the Holy Spirit's the earnest, or the down payment, or the guarantee that you get the inheritance that's yours. Think about it, Henny. He gave you a down payment, he gave you an earnest. That earnest is the Holy Spirit. Let's read on and finish this now tonight. It says, the Holy Spirit's the earnest. That's the guarantee of our inheritance. We got an inheritance coming. We got an inheritance coming. Oh, I can't deal with the inheritance tonight, but we got an inheritance coming. But he give you a down payment on it. He give you earnest money. The earnest is the Holy Spirit. That's a guarantee you're going to get it. See, that's why I said that this is priceless and unchanging. It's both of them. It says, now this pretty well shows you what it said. Which is the earnest of our inheritance, verse 14, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who's the purchased possession? He gives you a down payment, which is the Holy Spirit. And that's the guarantee that you're going to get what he promised. Turn to Ephesians 4. I'll close with this. This is my third or fourth closing. Ephesians 4. I love this. I tell you. All right, so when the Lord saved you, he put a seal on you. Who's the seal? Holy Spirit. What is he? He's an earnest. He's guaranteed that you're going to get what he promised. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How long are you sealed for? How long are you sealed for? Ephesians 4, notice what it says in verse 30. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of? You know when the day of redemption is? Look here. Let's go back to my wonderful thing here. This is the day of redemption. Right here's the day. You know, you say, wait a minute, I was redeemed. Yeah, you've been redeemed. You've been set free from the bondage of your sin debt. But you ain't got the full benefits of that redemption yet. You know what you don't have yet? Somebody say it. You ain't got a redeemed body yet. You're still living in that thing. You know when you go get a new body? This is called the day Luke 21 says, when Jesus comes, says, lift up your head for your redemption draws. Now, you're going to get a new body. We got a redeemed standing with the Lord, but one of these days we're going to get a new redeemed body. And when we see Him, we'll be like Him. And He's going to change this vile body. And it's going to be likened like unto His glorious body. That's redemption right there, boy. That's the day of redemption. Priceless, unchangeable, redeemed. How long are you redeemed for? Until the day of redemption. You see, that's why I said redemption is priceless and it's unchangeable.